Welcome everyone, thanks for coming. If you have questions, don't hesitate to send them through Twitter. It will pop up so everybody will see it, so try and be gentle. I'm Sebastian, I write open source software for fun. And one of the things this means is that for fun I don't write PowerPoint slides and I very rarely do marketing blurbs. As such, you will not have slides. You will just have, for most of the day, a console that we're going to use to talk about how to build composite applications. So if you want to tell me, or if you want to tell me what you think about it, or you disagree with me, this is my email address, seb@serialseb.com. Or you can send me a Twitter message, which is probably faster, I don't really reply to emails. At Serial Seb, that's my Twitter name. Or you can just search for Serial Seb or Crazy French Guy. It usually all comes up. So I wanted to talk today about open frameworks, or how Herd Encode call them, the open everything frameworks, which are the things that I lead development on, and that we use to build websites and Windows applications, and to show you basically OpenWrap and OpenRaster in action today and how they can combine to do really, really cool stuff. And because I'm feeling a bit in a very, very daring mood, should I say, I'm going to pretend that I have nothing installed on my system, and I'm going to do that by removing completely OpenWrap from my system and starting fresh as if I hadn't installed anything at all. So consider it the equivalent of Cirque du Soleil deciding to jump 70 meters above the ground without any protection. We're going to do it just as you would do. So we're going to start with OpenWrap for a bit. We're going to talk about package management, or dependency management, more likely, aka how do we build applications based on deployment units that are called packages. Now, that all sounds very complicated. A package is roughly a zip file that has a bunch of interesting things in them that you may use. So no different from what you used to do by downloading jQuery or downloading any other framework that you may use out there, but in a way that manages versioning and plenty of other interesting things. So to use OpenWrap, of course, the first thing you need to do, and again we're going to start from the moment zero, including installation, just to show you how much we value productivity in what we build. I do have my Twitter notifications on, so you can feedback information indeed, and you can all see it on video. So the first thing I do is go to the openwrap.org website. You can see that there's a download button. I can run the application straight from there, like so. And the application is command line, because the command line is cool. It's the new pink, apparently. The command line is a very productive environment, much more than clicking around with a mouse, which I happen not to have on my laptop. And we launched the application. Is going to ask you to install itself, which I'm going to say yes by calling I. You will notice that the initial installer is a whole whopping 62 kilobytes. So I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to put it on any memory card that you find anywhere. So don't hesitate to copy the shell anywhere on any piece of memory you find anywhere. Just leave it everywhere. Everybody will love it. By that point, the O shell is installed, which I can confirm by tapping O without a command, which is going to tell me, oh, well, there you go. You didn't type a command. I don't know what you want. So one of the first things you need to know about OpenWrap, of course, is that it's a package manager. But the second thing is that it comes with its own shell. So we don't use PowerShell. We wrote our own shell because that reduces dependencies and it lets us do funky stuff that we can't do if we depend on something that ships as the operating system. I have a tendency to not like dependencies on things that ship with the operating system or Visual Studio in general. Same difference, about the same download size. So o.exe is the shell that lets you execute a whole bunch of things, and if you know PowerShell, it looks and smells exactly like PowerShell, so you won't be too disconcerted. You might need to install OpenWrap to build Postal. Yes, well, yes, Postal is available on OpenWrap. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the first thing you want to do when you create new code is create a new folder structure so that you can go and create your project. And OpenWrap already helps you at the very beginning by using the initwrap command. The initwrap command is for any project folder structure that you need to create a new project. So I'm going to create another thing called, I don't know, let's create an OpenFanboy website or web application or whatever. We'll see what we decide to do with it. So I asked OpenWrap here to init, to initialize that folder structure. If I go into that folder, you will see that there's a couple of files that have been created for you and a source folder in which you'll be able to build things. The first thing we're going to do at this stage, once we've created our project called OpenFanboy, I'm going to open Visual Studio. And you'll notice that suddenly my productivity levels decrease because I have to switch to a UI and click around and wait for everything to be created. Don't worry, OpenWrap is coming up with templating support, so you'll be able to be productive when you create new things very soon. In the meantime, we respect the desire of people that like UI, so you can still go and create your own project. And we're going to create some sort of class library that I'm going to go and put into the folder I just created. If you remember, that was a source folder, and I'm going to call it openfanboy.core. There you go. That's going to go and create a class library, something that you are all knowledgeable on, just a DLL that contains some code. While Visual Studio creates the project, I'm going to go and ask OpenWrap to detect all the projects I just created. This is necessary because OpenWrap does much more than just retrieve dependencies that you may use. It also helps you build, it helps you package, it helps you test, it helps you do a lot of things. And because of that, we import ourselves inside the build itself. So we go and inject ourselves into your CS proj the first time you run the project. You only have to do this once for every new project that you create. So I'm just going to init the project. You can see OpenWrap is telling me that they found the project and they hooked it up to OpenWrap, which makes Visual Studio want to reload. By all means, it should. And by that point, we now have our class here that is interestingly called class 1. So I'm going to call it I Love Open Frameworks. Let's call it Really I Love Open Frameworks so there's no confusion that it's an interface. And inside there, we're going to create just a standard method, nothing very interesting. We're going to create a main method, and inside it we're going to say that we want to return an unhibernate type equal type of unhibernate util. So for those of you that don't know unhibernate, it's an ORM tool done right that you can already download on the internet that lets you with accessing your databases in an object way, hence the name of an object relational mapper. Of course, I've not added an hibernate. I could go and download it on the website, but instead I'm going to use OpenWrap to pull it down. So the type has been defined, but it's not found because the references has not been found. I can try and find an hibernate package on my remote repositories. Sadly, I only have the OpenWrap repositories configured. So what is a repository? A repository is a website or a network share in your company or a local folder on your computer or many other different kinds of remote repositories of packages. So if you want an hibernate, you can go and download it from a package. In this case, I do not have the package on the OpenWrap servers because the package with all its deficiencies that currently exist on the NuGet servers, which I'm sure you heard Phil Hack tell you about, is already available. As such, I don't really need to bother with creating an OpenWrap specific one because it's really basic and there's really not much in it except for DLL, so we can get away with using a simpler package format like the NuGet one. And to add NuGet, again, I'm all doing that in front of you to make sure that everybody agrees that we are much more productive than anyone else on the market, of course. You can go to the wiki. The wiki is telling you plenty of interesting things. The most important thing that we use for this demo, if you don't find a package on the OpenWrap servers, fear not. We are open, and open means that we outreach to other systems when we need to. So I can go and add the NuGet repository. I'm going to call NuGet, and I'm going to pull it like this. You will notice that the commands that we use in the O shell looks like the PowerShell one, initwrap. But if you want to have them Git style, so verb followed or noun followed by verb instead of verb followed by noun, we also support that. So I just added a NuGet repository, and now if I go and try to maybe list the remote packages without the spelling mistakes, you will see very quickly that the Castle facilities and Hibernate integration, that's actually on OpenWrap servers. If you want the Hibernate integration facilities, we've got the package for that. Otherwise, if you look at the NuGet server, you will see that an Hibernate is available in the version 3.0.4000. So that's probably what we want to add, I think. So let's close that window for now and go back to our code. You remember that the code was read here. Let's scroll down. And let's say that we want to add the wrap and Hibernate to our solution. This is going to do a bunch of stuff, and one of them is to pull the actual binaries of the package. This is already quite useful. Right now, OpenWrap is indeed going through all the packages, updating the correct ones, and hopefully finding the Hibernate and the dependent packages that were found in it. So how do we do it for information? When we pull in a NuGet package, we convert it to an OpenWrap package on the fly, and we install an OpenWrap-friendly version. There's a couple of limitations. You can go and check on the wiki what they are. Now, if I go back to my code, whoops. You will find. Did that not work? You will find that my code doesn't work. So normally, right, if we look at the build output is always important to check these things. You will see that indeed all the references have been added. So what I need now is to understand why ReSharper is not happy. Ah, there you are. So sometimes ReSharper gets a bit touchy-feely, but Visual Studio itself detects OpenWrap quite happily and suggests that we should import all this stuff. So the package was automatically downloaded to your solution very quickly from the NuGet repository. It was added as a reference. It gets added as a reference dynamically. ReSharper sometimes is not too keen on the way we integrate with things. Those are pending bugs. We are on the verge of fixing them. When it happens, don't worry. Nothing is really broken. Just reopen the solution. And when we reopen it this time, ReSharper should be okay with it all. So this is going to reopen our class that we just opened. And provided Visual Studio starts responding very quickly, I'll be able to continue my demo. There you are. So ReSharper kicks in and find the type, hopefully. After a build. Right, so ReSharper this time worked. Wonderful. So yes, Visual Studio works out of the box all the time. ReSharper sometimes get confused with its cache files. The bug is known. We're fixing it. If it happens, restart Visual Studio and rebuild, and all the problems go away. Either way, that means that your code detects those references very easily. So you've all seen demos, probably much smoother when it comes to using a point-and-click user interface. We do it from the command line because it's more productive. One of the things that makes OpenWrap very different is that we make sure that you can do many more things than simply adding references to assemblies. For example, I've not configured anything, but I can go to the command line and ask OpenWrap to start building everything it finds and create automatically a package out of the result of the build. So as you can see, here I've got a package that got created automatically. OpenFineBoy 0.0.1. It even generates the version for you. If I open this, you will see the content of the package. It's fairly simple. You've got a descriptor that gives you information about a package. And you have a bin folder that is specific to the version of .NET for which that binary is compiled, contains both your DLL and your PDB files. I can actually go and again, all this integration, you don't need the command line, you don't need to have anything installed in your machine. Everything comes together with your source control. And as far as MS Build and the rest of the MS stack is concerned, it's business as usual. There's no strong dependency on OpenWrap at any point in time, except if you want the features like being able to build things automatically. One of the things that all this integration let us do is, for example, go and create a documentation file here. I'm just going to save the project file. I'm going to go and rebuild because the build integrates at both ends. It calls MS Build to build and then it integrates in MS Build itself. You'll notice that the package now contains the XML document. All this stuff is done automatically for you. One of the things that we really believe in is making sure that there's one way to do things and you don't have to pipe 25 commands to do normal stuff. So when you want to build and publish, when you build in one go. When you publish, you can go and publish that new package you just created. And we're going to publish the OpenFanboy package to the OpenWrap repository. Now, if you want to go and publish on the OpenWrap repository, so it's the other way around. So when you don't know how a command works around, again, we use exactly the same syntax as PowerShell. You should feel just at home. And you will see that publish wrap starts with a remote and after that has the name of the package. So let's try this one again. If anyone wants to build a Vim plugin for OpenWrap, don't hesitate. It will come quite handy, I'm sure. So we're going to add it to the OpenWrap repository and we're going to say that it's the package named OpenFanboy. It's read-only, right. So you're not looking at this at all, you don't know what it is, just forget you ever saw this line. I forgot to configure my repository. What did I do? Sorry, add remote. Okay, so the repository is Galaxy. That's my internal server for the OpenWrap server. I can go and publish. You can already do all this stuff yourself. All this publishing support works for any network share repository that you may want. And you can see that the OpenFanboy package was published to the Galaxy repository. If I list the wraps that exist called OpenFanboy on the OpenWrap server, and the Galaxy server are the same ones, you will see that it's now available. You can all use OpenWrap right now to go and download this amazing piece of code that does nothing. So how's that for demoware? Right, so we've got we created a new package, we built a new package, we published a new package, all this in a couple of seconds. That's already really, really great. And that's what OpenWrap does. It's one of the many things that we want to make easy for you in OpenWrap is to make sure that you can do all the stuff that you normally do manually or through the command line or through very complicated APIs from various vendors and make it as simple as we can. Another framework that lives in the open world is OpenRaster. So we're going to talk a bit about OpenRaster. OpenRaster is an HTTP framework. It was started about 3 years ago, a bit before MVC started being built. And OpenRaster was built to try and make HTTP development a bit easier. One of the things that I was very frustrated with in existing frameworks, especially when I was asked to do another web forms application, was the fact that yet again I would be building with a framework that doesn't understand HTTP, probably built by people trying to abstract everyone from HTTP to make it all look like web forms, which was not something that I was looking forward to after being a web forms developer for many years. And after reading the HTTP specifications, I thought there's plenty of interesting stuff in there that we should really be doing and that we should really be using. One of them is the focus on resources. And OpenRaster, compared to other frameworks, is a resource-centric framework. The definition of a resource is anything that has a URI. So if you have a home page, that's a resource if it has a URI. If you give yourself a URI, that's your resource. Well done. If I give a URI to my coffee cup, that's also a resource. So the default project that you would get in OpenRaster is a default ASP.NET project. As we will see, you can use your OpenRaster coding skills not only on ASP.NET, but on any hosting environment that is supported by OpenRaster. That includes ASP.NET, but that also includes HTTP listeners if you want to run it inside a Windows service. And it will include the all brand new OpenHTTP hosting platform, which you will hear more about next month at KubeCon in London. So don't hesitate to tune in to know which other OpenXXX framework are created. But that will let you run HTTP applications in any environment without having to rebuild anything. Well, we're not there yet. What we have now is OpenRaster 2.1. You can go and download that as a package on the OpenWrap servers. Don't try and find it on NuGet. It's not there. We only support OpenWrap. The default project in OpenRaster has a couple of files that are interesting to you. Web.config has two handlers and well, an HTTP handler and HTTP module that get added to your web.config file. Not very interesting, but this is how we hook up into the ASP.NET platform. And the entry point to the application, the first time it starts, is this class called the configurator. You need to implement the iConfiguration source interface. This is the class that will let you configure all the things that your website is going to show at the beginning of the application when it starts. We take the concept of resources and we make it available to a nice fluent API. If you look at the IntelliSense, you will see that the resource-based entry point, there's only one, there's no 20 times to remember when you configure things, there's only one, it's called resource-based. And resource-based has two verbs, has and uses. We won't cover uses today, but has lets you declare resources, lets you declare things with the URIs. And I'm going to create a resource type of home resource. For those of you that are more used to an MVC approach, you can think of the type that you create for the resource as the view model or the DTO that you will be sending back from your controller back to the browser. So we create here resource space has resources of type home resource, and we're going to say that they are handled by the home handler, which is just a POCO class that you can find. Oh, sorry, I forgot that a resource has a URI, as I just said. So we're going to say that the home resource, the thing that is called home, lives at slash home and is handled by that type. If I build this and run my browser, which I think I have here, and I reload it, the first thing you will notice is that I end up with an error, which is completely normal. It's part of the demo. What a beautiful excuse. And it gives you an HTTP status code in return telling you HTTP 405 method not allowed. Another difference of OpenWrap is that it's a generic web framework that tries and respect HTTP semantics all the way. And one of the semantics we have in HTTP is the return status code. The status code is telling the browser what happened. And when it tells you 405, it tells you, I don't understand the methods that you used. Now, some people call it HTTP verb, and some people called it that in specifications back in the late 80s, beginning of the 90s. But it's called an HTTP method. So we're going to call it an HTTP method for the rest of the discussion today. The first thing you will notice is that the status codes tell you method not allowed. In actuality, 405 means the method doesn't really exist on that resource. And indeed, if you look at the home handler, I don't have any resource. I don't have any method created. So I could go and put attributes all over the place, but I like things to be nice and simple, so we keep it POCO the whole way. We're going to create a home resource and call the get method on it, which is going to return a new home resource. And I'm going to create a message of hello MVC conf. So the property doesn't exist. Oh, I forgot the new. Where's the macro for write my own code, please? We can go and create the property. Thanks God we have ReSharper. We can code these things very quickly. Now, if I go and refresh my page that I just created, I should arrive on a new error, which is here, HTTP 406. And again, this is an HTTP status code that says exactly what it means, aka that the media type that is being requested is not known. AKA the browser said, I support HTML and any other format under the sun if you're Internet Explorer, or if you're other browsers, you will say, no, I understand HTML. And the server says, well, I've got no way to convert that .NET object you gave me into something I can return to a browser. And I say, fair enough, fair enough. So we're going to continue configuring things, and we're going to say that we're going to render this as a JSON data contract. This is called in OpenRaster a codec, because it reads and writes media types, and as such we called it a codec. So if I now refresh my page, hopefully I should have some JSON content showing up and being requested for download, which you can't see with this, but if I go to another browser, Chrome, I will see, ooh, look at that lovely JSON already done. So there you go, you've got your ASP.NET application serving JSON in a couple of lines of code. This is already quite cool, but another thing that we provide is pluggable what you would call view engines, I suppose, in MVC parlance. You can provide pluggable codecs. And what I'm going to do now is going to go one step up and say that there should be no difference between the frameworks you use for your services and the framework you use for your resources. And I can go and create a new ASPX page to return to the user. Of course, the system is pluggable. There's already a Razor View engine available out there that I've not pulled in OpenRaster yet. Don't worry, this is coming soon. I can go and add a new item, and I can create kind of any kind of web form I want, including with code behind, if that makes you happy and you want code behind. It won't support postbacks, but for demo purposes we'll just pretend that this is an acceptable thing to do. I'm going to remove the form run at equal server. That's all the stuff that you normally have by default with templates with MVC. I'm only in an ASP.NET website at this stage, so I can't have the MVC templates because of the way that templating work in Visual Studio. So instead, I'm going to go to the code behind, all evil, and I'm going to go to the code behind. If I find how to get there you are. So Open Rasta is a bit like OpenWrap. It tries not to get in your way too much. It tries to not enforce inheritance chains. It tries to not be too complicated. So you'll see to be able to use the home resource as a property, I can simply import it in the code behind and in the code here. You all know this syntax and hate it with reason. You can go and use the home dot message and say my message is. If I rebuild this lovely little baby and I refresh this time around, I may have an HTML page showing up with ooh, an error. Well, that happens. So what to do when you have an error? Well, the debug output is usually quite useful. And here you will see that views home.aspx doesn't exist. Indeed, it doesn't because I forgot to rename the page. It is a problem. What is it called? Problem between chair and computer. So let's rename this to home.aspx by stopping the build first. There you go. Let's retry this, shall we? And once we have the message showing up, you can see indeed that my SPX template was used. You can use any template engine that you want. We had some Spark support for this. Web forms are supported out of the box. Razor has a plugin being written. It's not available as a package just yet, but we're working on that. So all this stuff works again a bit like OpenWrap, trying to be as low impact as we can while still being prescriptive. It can run side by side with MVC. It can run side by side with ASP.NET. It can run side by side with WCF. It can run side by side with most things. The only thing as a tip I will give you is that whoever wrote the routing engine in ASP.NET didn't think that any other HTTP module may want to respond. So when you register the OpenRaster handler and in the future the OpenHTTP handler, which will work the same way, make sure in your handler and module definitions that you register the OpenRaster and the OpenHTTP one before ASP.NET routing. Otherwise, ASP.NET routing considers that if it doesn't know about a URI, it will return a 404 before you have a chance to be called. So side by side, that all works great. You can already create a new project with OpenRaster by using the OpenRaster full package, which I can do by chaining a bunch of commands. This is one of the beauties of having a good command line system. My other demo project is something that I could create now. I could CD to that project and add the OpenRaster full package to it in one lovely little line. Takes a couple of seconds and off you go. So this is going to go and churn and show you that all the packages just go and get downloaded automatically from the correct places. OpenRaster 2.1 is the same as the traditional OpenRaster you all know and love and have loved since version 2. There's not many changes, just a few bug fixes and probably a few enhancements that are going to come in the next couple of weeks. After that, 2.1 is only just an OpenWrap-based OpenRaster. After that, OpenRaster 3 will have more announcements to do about that next month. So the project got created. You can see it pulled in a whole bunch of stuff, including a whole bunch of test frameworks. If we have a bit of time, I'll show you a few other features that you can think of. But we're talking about composite applications, so it's all very long-winded. We've been going on for 30 minutes trying to get to the point where we can start composing things with this stuff. Well, that's the interesting thing, right? I can go in my other demo project and I can create a new Visual Studio project because, after all, the more Visual Studio projects we have, the better. Oh, actually, let's reuse the OpenFanboy core I had earlier, right? So if I go to my OpenFanboy projects and I go and add the Open Raster Core package, which is just the basics that you need to build services without any UI. I'm going to go and, well, I'm going to wait until this gets installed. There you go. That means that in my package here, I should have references to OpenRaster being already added. Again, when it does work, the ReSharper integration is wonderful. It adds things dynamically. So, how do you build composite applications, and what does composite applications mean? Well, composite applications mean that the various components of your application are going to be built and deployed independently, and that by using this system, you are going to add functionality to your system without ever touching the big consuming application. So if you think about what MVC has been doing with their portable areas work, it's a bit like this, but done throughout the system. And this is really at the core of the OpenRaster 3 architecture. I'm just going to show you what you can do today with OpenRaster 2 and OpenWrap. If you remember, we had a lovely configuration here that lets us define a bunch of resources. And what I would really like to be able to do is create in my Open Fanboy a specific bunch of resources that I want to add to every single ones of my website. And I can do that fairly easily by saying that I want to create an extension method for any site I want. I'm going to hook up from the Fluent registration that we all love and that we all love. Have I missed something there? There you go, we need to import the configuration namespace. And I'm going to create the same as we just did, create a resource class. Again, it's POCO, no inheritance, no anything. Handled by, well, at URI open frameworks, yeah, open everything. There you go. And we're going to create our handler that we know is the one that will return or respond to the HTTP request. I'm a fanboy handler. So again, you know, there's a reason why I do all these demos in real time and I write all the code is to make sure that it's very visible. We build this stuff for day-to-day productivity and not for demo wear. So if I come up with a demo and I'm able to write all the code I'm needing in real time, that means that the framework is productive. If you want point-and-click demo wear, then that doesn't give you productivity as much. There we go. I would do lead speak and put plenty of threes and L's and E's and all this stuff, but I'm too old, so I don't think I know about them. I could try, but it would be an absolutely disaster. So we just created an extension method that's going to let me register. Actually, this is an extension method. That's going to let me register this resource on every single website that I'm going to import it to. And when I talk about workflow and changing the workflow that you use to do this stuff, I really mean it. I'm going to build a wrap and I'm going to add this wrap to my system repository. This is another difference between OpenWrap and other package managers. We have both a project repository where we keep the packages that you need for your project and a system repository that you can use both as a cache and for all the commands that you saw happen on the command line. And I'm going to add OpenFanboy to my system. Whoops, let's try this again. Again, you can execute those commands from PowerShell like I just did, or from any command.com or command.exe. That all works exactly the same way, no problem there. Actually, the same commands can be executed out of the box on MS Build, and that kind of works wonderfully if you want to have builds that go and pull new versions of packages whenever you do stuff. like updating a whole bunch of projects on the live server. If I go back to my Open Everything project, what was it called? I can now just add the ramp. You notice I've not published it anywhere. I don't need to. I've not even published it to a local repository that I would have created specifically for that. I just added it to my system, and I'm going to add the OpenFanboy package to my system. And when I go back to my website, as soon as this is done, I'll be able to type resource space has So it's not there yet. So it's not there yet. You will notice nothing is there. The namespace that we created was OpenFanboy. So if I just add the using OpenFanboy, that this has now appeared. I can run the application again, launch it. I'll try and launch it. There you go. Whoops. And go to Open Everything. Open Frameworks rules, indeed they do. So when I talk about composite application, this is just giving you a little bit of a taste for the reason why we started prototyping OpenWrap 13 months ago. Now, there you go, we are 13 months in. I thought it would be a 6 month job. It turned out into a 13 month job. We started prototyping, demoing to a couple of people in the community, a couple of MVPs a while ago. I think we did the first demos a couple of weeks before Mix UK, Mix in Vegas. The reason we build all this stuff is to enable that kind of scenarios where you pull in new bits in your website and you are able to compose it them in a very, very, very quick way so that you can add features to your website such as adding jQuery or adding admin panels or adding plenty of other stuff through your HTTP application in two commands. This is where we are right now. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in the next month, so I'll give you my great presentation skills. Make me love Notepad. So I'll give you a Notepad list of things that you can check. You can go to openwrap.org, the best package manager in the world. There you go, openraster.org. The website is under rebuilding as we are approaching the end of the 2.1 version. GitHub is where all those projects are handled. Me, I'm Sebastian Lembler, and my email address is serialseb.com, and my Twitter name is serialseb. And if you need more contact details from me, you can add me on Skype. There you go. I'm from London, just in case the British accent wasn't too knowledgeable. And I'm half French, for those of you that wonder where that accent came from, because I know that's really the question you are all dying to ask after this presentation. So the things that are coming up in the next month. We have new features coming up to OpenWrap. I wanted to show you testing. I don't have the time. OpenWrap can build your test and package your test and run your test and let you test all the packages and how they work together before you update anything. That's coming down in the pipeline. Scoping, so you can deploy different packages to different environments. Let me remind you that we have amazing integration because we designed it. We designed all the features that are coming up in OpenWrap with those guys very early on. Symbolsource.org will have default publishing mechanisms so you can go and publish your source code and your PDBs all together very quickly. There's a whole bunch of features that are coming up. And more importantly, in March we're announcing OpenHTTP, which is a hosting environment for OpenWrap packages. I showed you how to do composite applications based on the ASP.NET website. I'll just show you a very, very quick thing, however, before I let you go, which is that if you look at the folders that get created at the end of your build, there is no trace of OpenWrap. I won't show you, I will just tell you that. You have absolutely no dependencies on OpenWrap just because you use it in your development workflow when you deploy. We're not there, we don't do anything, and unless you call our code, we're not going to magically appear. What we do is make the process smoother with a bit more opinion than other systems to try and give you more power and more productivity and spend less time doing all the mechanical things. Stay tuned on all those websites. I suppose I should give you my blog as well. This is on codebetter.com. I'm sure you all know this great blogging environment, and I think it's something like that.